Welcome to Couch Lobsters, the film and series podcast made by amateurs for cinema enthusiasts. The concept is simple. We assign each other a film or a series to watch, and we keep our opinion secret until the day of the recording. Beware, this podcast is full of spoilers. Hello, Dima.
Hi, Jess.
How are you doing?
Yeah, fantastic. It's 2024.
Always fantastic.
2024, first episode of the year. So, yeah, I think it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, it is the first of the year. Yeah, it's going to be a funny one, to be fair, today.
Finally. I think we've had comedies before, but we've always had like a...
But not paired with a comedy.
Yeah. So this was like a good random choice.
Wait, what comedy did we do before? Oh, fucking the Zohan, right?
Yeah, we did Zohan.
Don't mess with the Zohan.
We did Beef. I mean, it was a comedy-ish.
Okay, but that's, I suppose, comedy-ish, yeah.
The cartoon that we did, it was like a comic one, right?
The cartoon. What was it called?
Like, Solar Opposites? Or Polar Opposites? Solar.
Solar Opposites. Yeah. Polar? Solar? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that one.
Today's like comedy versus comedy.
Yeah, two big ones, because we got Bruce Almighty versus What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah. What would you want to start with? Bruce is your pick.
Yeah. If you're asking me, then I would say let's start with Bruce Almighty.
All right, let's do that. We'll start with Bruce Almighty.
Have you ever felt...
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News.
Hey, wacky Bruce.
Unappreciated.
In the newsroom, we don't wear hairnets.
God.
Why do you hate me?
Have you ever thought life...
What are you doing over there?
...was unfair? Run! Have you ever complained about it?
So God is picking on you?
What is that?
The only one around here not doing his job is you!
You must be Bruce.
Who are you?
I am God. You think you can do it better, so here's your chance. When you leave this building, you will be endowed with all my powers.
On May 23rd...
It's funny, I woke up this morning and I swear my boobs felt bigger. Do they look bigger to you?
Bigger...
All right, so Bruce Almighty, as we said already, was my pick. So the story for the movie is about Bruce Nolan, who's a television reporter in Buffalo, New York, who constantly complains about everything in his life, despite him actually being a popular reporter. His kind of like fans love him, people at work love him, his girlfriend Grace loves him, but... At the end of what could be the worst day of his life, when he lost the anchor job, he had a fight with Grace, you know, he was late at work, his dog pees everywhere in the apartment. So Bruce angrily rages against God for treating him poorly, and sort of the God responds. God appears in this sort of like a human form, contacts Bruce and offers him all his powers for seven days to see if he can do the job. And obviously Bruce sort of kind of accepts it and then goes on a spree. So that's kind of like in what the movie is about in short. If we talk about the stats, I think we love the stats. I do love the stats, the numbers. IMDb has it at...
Do you like the stats?
I do like. IMDb has it at 6.8. Rotten Tomato, it looks to be more critical because the audience give it a 57% and 48% from critics. The movie is PG-13 as a comedy should be. Has a runtime of 1 hour 40 minutes, which was quite like a, I think it's a sort of in that hour and a half.
It's not that long.
The movie released in 2003, and both like Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb agree that it is a comedy and fantasy. I think fantasy could be like a strong word here.
Right.
Maybe not.
I think it's because of all the miracles and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I guess. But like...
Like, because there is some supernatural...
Yeah, I guess.
Aura
yeah.
to it. The fact that God is real and all of that is a bit of a fantasy.
Yeah.
No offense. Yeah, I do understand why, yeah. but I definitely would put it in a drama, in a comedy bracket more than the fantasy
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think, yeah, fantasy could be, like, a strong word, so it's maybe on the lighter side of fantasy.
Yeah.
For the... I couldn't see specifically what was... I just saw, like, so the budget for the movie was $81 million.
Mm-hmm.
And... It grossed worldwide close to 500 million. So.
Yeah, that's a crazy jump.
Yeah, that is a crazy jump. And considering that Bruce Almighty, I think it was the most, like, if we look at money wise, it was the most successful movie for Jim Carrey. And.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. And it topped the US box office. On the weekend of its release, so it beat Matrix Reloaded. It beat Eddie Murphy's Daddy Daycare and X-Men 2, X-Men United. Yeah. So this was
no.
yeah. So this was Jim Carrey's most successful film. Yeah. Well.
Wait. So this movie did better than the Matrix and X-Men. What the fuck is wrong with people?
That's
well,
crazy. Reloaded.
Those are
no,
big
no.
IPs, like...
Well, but to be honest, like Matrix Reloaded, was it the third one? Reloaded, or was it the second one?
No, wasn't it the second one? Yeah. So
I mean, yeah,
went
the third one was
Revolution.
You
went to see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised because I thought the Matrix, like any Matrix, maybe not the third one, but the second one at least, people just thought it's going to be as good
yeah.
as the first one. So I imagined a lot of people went to see, but no.
But I think a lot of people also, yeah, but a lot of people also like Jim Carrey, so.
No, that's fair. He has like a great potential for comedy and also he seems like a kind person. So like obviously put him in a movie, you're going to sell the Jim Carrey's image.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. I'm surprised though. And X-Men 2 was great. Why would it? Okay, never mind. I always assumed that the best Jim Carrey, like in terms of money, I assumed The Mask made more money, but it didn't. It did 300 and something million. Because in my mind, The Mask was like the big success.
Yeah, I think it was like
Jim Carrey.
One of his first big successes. For sure. I think like Mask is one of my. Like favorite movies.
Favorite.
Yeah. But this was good. Like
But yeah. What about the Truman Show though? I know it's not as much a comedy, but like that's a really successful one.
Yeah, I think well maybe we can talk about it right now, but like generally like I love Jim Carrey mainly for his you know, stupid comedy stuff. And like Truman
right,
was not
yeah.
Truman Show was not that.
Was more serious. Yeah,
yeah
for sure. But that's why I liked it more, I guess. Because I guess I'm going to lean a bit into what my critique is going to be. But I love Jim Carrey to an extent. And I hate it when the entire comedy relies on him doing stuff with his face.
Mm.
So when it's a lot of Jim Carrey's grimaces and just him distorting his face and it's a lot of physical comedy right
mm-hmm.
with him more so than yeah so I don't like it when it's the extreme of that so I don't love the what's the thing where he's a detective like a pet detective
Ace Ventura
yeah Ace Ventura for example I don't find it very funny and for me Bruce Almighty is a bit much in terms of physical comedy it's always him having to do weird faces and yeah, a lot of accentuated gestures. I don't know. Whereas I think in the Truman Show, it's more restrained. So for me, that works better.
Yeah, but I think that's like all these movies, like the biggest, you know, Ace Ventura mask, you know, even something like a Yes Man, like all, like this is his shtick, right? I think that's why people like him.
It is his, it's his gimmick for sure. But I think he can do more, that's what I'm saying. I think in The Mask, though, it doesn't bother me as much because it's part of, like, the character. So once he puts the mask on, that's a cartoon character. So the fact that he's grimacing makes sense, whereas I think when he plays a normal human person, sometimes it can be a bit too much that he's contorting his face and just making all these weird faces all the time. To me, it's like a bit too much. And I'm not one for physical comedy. That's not the thing that I find the funniest. So I don't know. But I'm not saying, okay, I don't know if we're gearing towards the critique here. I wouldn't say this is a bad movie, though. That's not what I mean. But I think for me, in terms of Jim Carrey, I'm always a bit reluctant because I never want to see just him doing goofy faces, basically. And if it's only that, I'm not going to like the movie that much.
I don't think it's just that. I think it's like a mix of... It's a mix of... him doing the gestures, the faces, but also the jokes. The jokes and a lot of his improvisation, because he was a stand-up comedian before that. And he did a lot of comedy, you know, did SNL. So he did like, he's like a comedian. So he's like a funny guy. It's just like, it just happens that like doing all these, improvisations with his like face gestures, it's just his shtick.
Yeah,
and that's like, I think, like,
because it's like he's made of elastic, like his face is crazy, he can do such silly things with his entire face, not just his mouth. So I understand that you want to capitalize on that, and it's kind of his brand at that point in 2003, because he hasn't done much, although the Truman Show was prior to Bruce Almighty, but I think he was still like cast in a lot of films to use him as like that performer, the one who does stuff with his face. And it works to an extent. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but I think for me, an entire movie of just that maybe is too much. And that's completely personal, because I understand like a lot of people might appreciate that. And that doesn't mean the movie is bad. It's just a personal preference that to me... It gets a bit much and I stop laughing after 30 minutes, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But there are good things like the plot, the central plot of this
maybe
is super
before
interesting.
Before we just move into that, like, because I wanted to talk about the actors, right? Okay, so we've mentioned Jim Carrey.
All right, yes. He's in the movie.
Just FYI, spoiler alert. Yeah, Jim Carrey is in the movie. I think, like, to me, when I hear Jim Carrey, to me, like, the first, probably the movie that comes to mind would be Ace Ventura, Mask,
right?
Liar Liar,
yeah.
Dumb and Dumber,
yeah.
Yes Man.
God.
Yeah, so those would be,
yes,
like...
Yes Man, okay.
Yeah, those would be, like, the movies. Like, when I hear Jim Carrey, this is what I'm hearing. Right, those.
Okay.
Then, and for everybody, it could be different. Like you said, like you mentioned, like Truman Show, right? I wouldn't, when I hear Jim Carrey, I wouldn't I wouldn't associate it with him that much, because I guess, like we said, it's like, to me, it's not really his shtick, right? And I like him for these kind of like silly movies rather than him. Like, and he's done or attempted to do a few, and I was never a fan of those.
All right.
But yeah, so we do have Jim Carrey, obviously. We have Jennifer Aniston, who's best known for Friends. Probably everybody knows her from Friends.
Friends.
More recently it would be The Morning Show, We're the Millers, and just go with it. So these are like, I think, but she played in a bunch of stuff. But yeah, I think everybody knows her from Friends.
Yeah, mostly Friends. But then for sure after Friends, she made movies.
Yeah.
But she broke out in with friends, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Then we have Morgan Freeman, best known, I think, like Shawshank Redemption to me.
The Shawshank Redemption, yeah. Me too.
Shawshank Redemption, we have Deep Impact, The Dark Knight, Seven.
Oh, right, yeah, it was great in that, though, in the Batman trilogy. Yeah, I loved him.
Pretty good.
Seven, yeah, classic. I mean, he's done probably like 500,000
He's done so many. He never, but he rarely plays like a main character. So like Shawshank Redemption is obviously one of those. Seven is one of those. He rarely plays like a
Seven. Yeah, yeah.
He rarely plays like a main guy, but he, like, in majority of the movie he plays, he's like a second character. But he's always great. He's always great.
Yeah. Well, I think in Million Dollar Baby, I think he was a main character. In the, it was like the boxing. Like, I don't know if you've seen
that
movie.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
With a boxer. Yeah. Like a, yeah, I think he was one of the main, I want to say two or three characters, because there were a few. But yeah. But yeah, he's always, and more often than not, he does like also shit movies where he's like a second or third character. But he hasn't done just great movies. He's done shit movies as well. I think he just does stuff for money sometimes. He's like, all right, yeah, I'll do it for a few millions. Fair enough, man. I do the same. But yeah. But in this, he's kind of like not a main one, but he's part of the trio, right?
Yeah.
You've got Jim Carrey, Jennifer Aniston, and then him.
Yeah. It would be him and probably, yeah, he would be the third main, and the fourth to me would be Steve Carell, plays Evan Baxter. So he's mostly known, I think, from The Office. Office, you have Foxcatcher. Have you seen Foxcatcher?
Yeah, I hated it. But it was in The Big Short, which was an amazing movie. About the financial crash.
40-year-old virgin. And he also played, I think, the first two seasons of The Morning Show, until they killed him off. Yeah, third one, I think.
Oh, they killed him off? All right. I haven't seen season
two.
Oh,
you haven't
two.
Seen
I
it? Okay, spoiler. Well,
thank you, Dima.
It's full of spoilers. The show is full
but also,
of spoilers.
Oh, God, I didn't know he died. Well, fine. and he was in a show recently called The Patient, and I think for us it was on Disney Plus, where he plays some sort of psychiatrist or psychologist, one or the other, and he gets kidnapped by one of his patients. Because the patient is an actual serial killer, and he feels that he needs his psychotherapist or whatever he was to be with him at all times so that he can stop being a serial killer. Anyways, but it was not a comedy. It was like thriller drama, and it was really, really, really good.
So like the movies that like I've seen on him, like I've never, he like the serious stuff that he plays, he's pretty good. Funny stuff that he plays, he's obviously like very good. I think he's just a good actor to me all around.
Yeah, I think he's great. He can do a lot of things.
And so these are in terms of characters. For the director, we have Tom. How do you pronounce his last name? Shadiak?
Yeah. Not sure. Never heard of this guy.
Well, I mean, he did do, like looking at this IMDb page, like, I was like, okay, Ace Ventura, seen that, accepted, seen that, The Nutty Professor, he's, like, comedy stuff, but then he had a bunch of other movies that I've never even heard about. So from the movies that I've saw, it's only, like, comedy stuff, so nothing beyond comedy.
Yeah.
And as for the movie itself, when it came to like getting or finding the movie, I didn't have, for some reason, there wasn't much choices. So I actually ended up, because the movie was available for me from Disney Plus. I don't have Disney Plus at the moment, and Disney Plus costs here $13.99, so like $14. a month, and I'm like, buying like a subscription, like $14 just to watch one movie, because I know there's nothing on Disney mm-hmm. Plus at the moment that I'm...
want to see.
I'm willing to watch. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, that like $14 for a month versus... So the, my second option was just to, $14. Or get, like, buy a movie for $12. So it was like a $2 difference. So I just ended up, like, buying it for $12 because I knew... Yeah, I mean, $2 is not that much to, like, you know, in terms of savings, but literally there would be nothing else on Disney this month that I would be watching.
No, so like, I get that.
I might as well just...
For me, it was on Netflix, though. Was easy. Okay. Yeah, it was... Yeah, for sure it was on Netflix. So I didn't have to rent or buy it. I don't think I would have bought it. I usually go with renting unless buying is very cheap. So, for example... spoiler, but What We Do in the Shadows, I could buy it on Apple TV for like £2. So at that point, I'm going, and renting it was £1. £2 is nothing. I'm just going to buy that movie. But I think Bruce Almighty to rent was about £3.50 on like Apple, and to buy it was about £10. So kind of close to what you paid. But it was free on Netflix, so I didn't buy or rent it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of like the, you know, stats wise, all the basic stuff. But you know, like if we get into the movie itself, so
yeah,
I assume that you've seen the movie at some point before.
For sure, I had seen it. I remembered nothing. I remember the basic plot, right? I remember Jim Carrey has the power of God, and he can do anything. I didn't remember that Steve Carell was in it or that Jennifer Aniston was in it. So that was a surprise and a happy surprise because I love Steve Carell. Oh, yeah, I remembered none of that. I didn't remember that Jim Carrey's character was like an anchor or a reporter because he wants to be an anchor, right? So I remembered none of that. I just remember, oh, that's the movie where he is God, basically. And he just overdoes it a little bit. Okay, one thing I will say is that the special effects have aged a lot. You can tell so often in the movie that there is a green screen behind people, like that they are acting in a studio and there's a green screen behind them. So that kind of, it's not like I hated that, but I could just definitely see how far along we've come with special effects. So I made a note of like the green screens. And I also don't understand... Well, I guess the logistics of it is that it's cheaper to film in a studio than actually go on location. But it feels like a lot of these places, they could just have gone to like the Niagara Falls. You can tell there's no falls behind him. It's like a green screen. And I'm like, how expensive would it be to like go on a little boat and pretend you're on the water as opposed to like in a studio with like, I don't know, some painting behind you like they did in the Westerns, like way back in the day. I don't know. So that took me out of the movie a little bit. Like I said before, for me, it's a bit much in the sense that the entire comedic aspect of this movie is relying on Jim Carrey doing funny faces or like even just doing funny stuff with his body. And for me, at some point, that's just a bit redundant. I get bored by it and I just expect a bit more, and more never came. So I feel like the plot was great and you could have done a great movie with it. But I think it fell a little bit short because we only focus on Jim Carrey's silly, goofy faces and actions. And not really on the consequences of his actions, because... part of the plot is that him acting like God in his life to like better his own life because he's selfish, it's gonna affect people around him in a negative way. And I feel like that's a great premise, but it's not really well explored in this movie for some reason. I felt like by the end of it, I was like, I guess there was a lesson. It was like, you can't just, you know, try to make everything perfect in your life and think that it's not going to affect people around. Like, for example, him trying to be romantic and pulling the moon closer to the window so that his girlfriend would see a very big moon. So because he does that, that causes like a tsunami in Japan or China or something, or like floods around the world. And I thought that was a great idea. But then again, it's not massively explored, at least on screen. You don't see the effects of his action enough on screen. You kind of hear it in passing. So you hear on the telly that too many people have won the lottery, because at some point he has to play God and he has to answer the prayers of people. And he goes on his emails and he says yes to all the wishes. So that means that too many people have wished to win the lottery and therefore, well, they all won the amount, but they have to share the amount. So all of them just ended up winning like $17 or something. And that's great. But again, it does, for me, it's not explored well enough. I don't know how to, because you're gonna tell me, yeah, but you do see on screen, like at some point there are riots on the streets and stuff, and it's like, yeah, but so briefly, and you don't really feel like everything is collapsing. You just, I don't know, I think it was a bit brushed.
I think you're over thinking, because way it wouldn't be a comedy. Comedy. And then it wouldn't be a hour and a half movie, right?
Yeah, maybe not.
If you want to make it in a comedy, right? You just want to briefly touch on that, just like in the background on a TV, rather than like, because, yeah. I mean, I think every comedy has a little bit of that serious moment, and that's like, they've showed it for him to realize, like, but it's not the main thing of the movie.
No. I guess not, but I don't know. I think I expected more from it. But I also think that the first time I saw that movie, which must have been like when it came out, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. So I think it might be an issue of, because I'm older and I've seen more movies in between, I go back to... Sorry. Just Dima made a really funny face. Yeah, and you just go back to this and you think comedies can be better, though. For me, this isn't really peak Jim Carrey or peak comedy. I think he's better, if you're going to go with the silly faces, for me, he's better in Mask. And it makes more sense in the Mask, because he has to be this green cartoon character. So I expect to see all those faces. Here, I think, first of all, I don't understand why she would date him, because he's so fucking annoying at first. And also, what is up with doing all these faces all the time? Yeah, you would think you need help. It's not correct. But he's...
I think
I kind of understand.
No, yeah, because look, in a scene right after his cookie thing, when he's late to work, and then like the boss
the Chinese
steps him
cookie,
aside, and is like, look,
Oh, right. Yeah, give me a sign. And there's like a million signs. And he said, just give me a fucking sign.
You know what? I think the first day... Well, because the movie starts, he's like doing a report on the biggest cookie in Buffalo. Or something like that, right?
Right.
And then he's...
Polish bakery.
Yeah. Yes. And then he's late to work. And that's when they kind of start talking about this anchor job, and his boss like pulls him aside. It's like, look, people love you. You're a funny guy. Because they also know that, like, it's even in a movie, it's his shtick, right? Just being funny. And then even in that report, how he like portrayed like that cookie competition, largest cookie, he was the funny guy.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, but is that enough to carry the entire. Because, yeah, he is funny. And at first, it's fine and it's endearing. But then his character is such an a-hole on the side. Because quickly enough, you realize all he cares about is his career and like being anchor. Mm. And that's the only thing he cares about. And so, even once he has all the powers, he only does things that will help him. At a selfish standpoint. So,
yeah.
I feel like at some point you can't really root for his character because he's like a dickhead. And like his poor, because I think Jennifer Aniston's character in this is really great, and I really appreciated mm-hmm. her in this, which I don't often love her, but in this she was great. And I think at some point it's a problem in the movie if the main character is unlikable, which I think Bruce becomes the more, like, once he has the powers, well, is it just like a very unlikable god figure? And for me, that's a problem because I have to, like, suffer through an entire movie of him doing things that are so selfish. And because he feels so entitled, like, he should have all these great things. And he doesn't even really understand what's important in his life. And you're going to say, yeah, but that's part of the movie. The lesson is, like, you have to differentiate what really matters at a material level and a personal one. Fair enough. But I don't know, I have an issue with liking the character, despite like you saying, oh, he's funny and he's goofy and people like him, but he's a dickhead. Like, most of the time, he's not very nice. So I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you that because he does all this selfish stuff, it's like, he's not very likable, but like playing devil's advocate, I think, because the reason why he got these powers, right? Because he was like complaining all the time that his life is shit, nothing's working for him, and like sort of the god was sick of hearing that shit, you know? And he's like, hey, if you think I'm doing bad for
it's
you,
an easy
like,
job, yeah, basically.
Yeah, and this is an easy job, like, here's power, you give it a go. And then it just like proves that he was kind of like, to him, it was like more for a selfish thing. But
I feel like if you tomorrow you were gifted all these powers, I feel like all of us would probably do selfish things, like
at least at the beginning.
Yeah. At the beginning, that's right. You would better your career. You would better your financial, you know, state. You would better all these things that only benefit you yourself and not the world. Nobody is gonna first say, you know what, I will end, you know, famine and climate change, I'm going to solve all of that. No, the first thing you're going to do is try to better your own life. So that's an astute observation for sure. And that's why I have a hard time criticizing this movie, because I love the premise. I do think that it's kind of deeper than just comedy, or look at Jim Carrey being funny, because there is that message behind it. And they've thought about what would people do with powers like that. And for sure, it's a critique of society. But the problem is, like, at some point I stop empathizing with Bruce, because at first you can kind of understand, like, it seems like nothing is going right in his life, and fair enough, maybe he deserves that job and all of that, sure. But at some point, when he starts not noticing that his girlfriend is really unhappy and he does nothing to fix it because he can't even see but you know, beyond his own nose, like, I get frustrated. I'm like, you know what? You're a dickhead. She is better off without you. But yeah.
Yeah, and that's
so
how
I don't
she
know.
Left.
Yeah, but she should have stayed gone. Like, I, you know what? I've seen this movie 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and I forgot what he does to make her come back. I'm like, wait, how did she? Why did she come back? Did he bring her?
I mean,
something?
He tried, but there was a bunch of stuff that he kind of tried. He tried, like,
all the signs, like,
yeah, like the signs,
yeah,
on,
yeah,
on
yeah.
TV is like,
the
hey, just forgive
the,
Bruce,
yeah,
and the
yeah,
songs.
Right.
Yeah, but at the end, he kind of like got rid. He just decided not to use his powers, and he, like, you know, that photo album that they at the beginning they
right,
tried to put.
Right, that was the album.
The photo album. So he just decided not to use powers and do like everything,
use the powers
the right way.
But
and then I think at the end it was like just him just getting in that car crash, and he was like listening to her prayers at some point, and he understood. That's kind of like when he understood that he's like a,
Jesus, I forgot all of that. Yeah, because he can hear people's prayers, and then he hears her saying like keep them safe, like all these people I love. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I still think like she put up with a lot from him, because for the entire movie,
for sure,
all he cares about is like being anchor. And he doesn't see that she really loves him, but he gives her nothing. And I'm just like, you know what? You're a terrible dude. Just leave him. Leave him. But it's also hard to criticize Jim Carrey because he does put in the performance that is required. You know
like,
what I mean?
It's so, like, I've watched this movie, this probably, I want to say at least five times. So this was at least fifth. And I still found, so I knew, this is, and this is not even my, this is one of my favorite movies. And I just, like, the reason why I picked it, I guess, and not something like, because I do love The Mask. I love Ace Ventura. And I don't know specifically why I picked Bruce Almighty. I felt like this was like a mix of like him being silly and then him maybe like, it wasn't like, like it's not like Dumb and Dumber where the whole movie is just
no,
like...
No, yeah, yeah.
So this was bit more on the like down to earth him, if that makes sense.
To an extent.
Yeah.
I guess to an extent, because he plays a human person and he's not extremely dumb he's just a normal guy. Yeah. But that's why and, the faces sometimes are a bit much though. Because do you know anyone in your life that would react to things the way he does?
The answer is yes. No.
Really? All right. Because it's a bit much, though. It's like a lot.
It's a bit much, but I think, like, I want to say almost like a few people that I know were like also big fan of his, and they were trying to be like him, like just from the like a funny standpoint of view. They were like trying to make silly jokes, make silly faces. Not sure if it always works, but like, yeah. But yeah, so seeing this movie for at least five times, this was maybe fifth, sixth, if not more, I still found a lot of his jokes are like, and funny scenes to be funny. Like you said, that scene where he's like, God, just give me a sign. And you know, there's like all these signs coming up. So there's been
and
like,
he doesn't see them because he's like, give me a sign. And you see a massive arrow like pointing to something. It's like, just give me a sign. It's like, there's so many signs, like one after another. And he doesn't want to see them because they aren't. The problem is like, they're not the signs he wants to see. Like in his mind, it's like the only sign I want is the sign pointing towards me being an anchor, and he won't accept anything less. So
a lot of these jokes, a lot of, like, I still laughed very hard, to be honest. I watched the movie and I laughed hard. I don't want to, maybe not as hard as I was watching it the first time, but knowing premise very well, knowing the jokes, like, it was still very funny to me. And I think
it is funny. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah, I could be biased because like Jim Carrey is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Comedians.
Yep. And it could be part of that, but I think it's just, I don't know, this silly stuff, it just, sometimes I need that. You know, it's like, watch, to me, it's very similar to watching Friends. I watched Friends from cover to cover at least 10 times.
God.
And I still, at least 10 times, cover to cover. And I still find the jokes very funny. I just absolutely love the show. And this was like very similar. I love him. I love the movie.
This is,
I love
peak.
His car.
Because you've got Jennifer Aniston from Friends and Jim Carrey, who's your favorite. Yeah, so it's like, it's the marriage from heaven.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm more like an Office US fan. Like, I've seen that show, you know, start from finish at least 7 or 8 times. And I love Steve Carell. So when I saw him in this, I was like, hey, awesome. This could be great. But then his role is not really big, although he has funny scenes. So at some point, Steve Carell has become the anchor, but Jim Carrey's character already has the powers, and so he's making Steve Carell do a lot of things on air, such as talking like a baby, or talking too fast, or you know, and that was funny because you could tell that
he was improvising Steve Carroll, a lot in that.
Yeah, but they were both good actors that could do these things really well, and it worked. So it was a good duo to see on screen. Laughed a few times. It's not funny. Like, I don't want to say it's not funny because it is funny to an extent. Like I said, some of these special effects, not so good anymore. But then it was like, but no, I'm shocked because in 2003, Matrix Reloaded came out. So if you can do The Matrix, how can you not do like green screens that don't look like green screen in Jim Carrey's Bruce Almighty?
But I'm sure
Matrix
had a much higher, budget.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Much higher but budget. This was a good return on investment, right? You put 80 million, you get 500 back.
If you consider the money, nowadays you won't even make a comedy for less than 100 million, I think.
Yeah.
Like most movies nowadays, they cost so much money. So it's great that we could do something like this for 80 million. And it worked. The proof is in the pudding. A lot of people want to see this movie. So that's a great testament to how much your money can go if you're not that worried about just everything being so expensive. But I'm guessing, since then, with inflation, the money, so 80 million at the time might be a bit closer to 100 million now. I don't really know. There are many things.
I wanted to say, like, before we move, like, with that teleprompter scene. Original script apparently. First, Steve Carell did a lot of the improvisations. Like on himself, so you're just like improvising. But also there was like deleted scenes where they, in the original script, they had him like bleeding from his nose and like apparently his head went on fire. And it was like, I've actually found that deleted scene on like his head like bursted into flames. And I found like this screen.
Jesus.
Yeah, I found it on the internet and like, apparently why it was deleted, like the director thought it could be too much. And well, after seeing it, I was like, yeah, that was like way too much. So it was like at that point it became like a bit, not funny almost. Like, you know, like when you see a guy like bleed on the screen and it's like his head burst into flames. So
yeah, that's no longer funny. You just feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. So I think it was a good call to delete that scene, but
I haven't seen it, I don't think it would have added.
Yeah, don't watch it. But like, you might find interesting to know that according to writers, so the movie was supposed to be even, I think, more silly, stupid in a kind of way that you might not. I mean, I wouldn't like it too, but like apparently it was supposed to have a lot more like boob jokes and like Bruce was supposed to be more of an idiot even then. So I think I'm glad they didn't do that because I think it would have been like way over the top and
actually like for sure.
Yeah. So his character was also like based on a salesman before they actually changed it to a reporter. Yeah.
Oh, right. So, okay. Before they changed the plot. Okay.
Yeah, because I think it was like originally.
I mean, it wouldn't have.
Yeah. It was based on the script was supposed to be based on like a book, which later went into like, there was some lawsuits and stuff, but yeah, they kind of like changed him to a reporter. So,
yeah, I don't think that would have mattered a lot. Like a salesman or a reporter to me.
Have you watched Friends?
Yeah, because someone made me watch them last year. So up until last year, I had not seen most. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I'm not a massive fan of Friends. Like, it was funny and I appreciated some of the episodes, but to me, it's not my favorite sitcom at all. Uh-huh. And I don't think I would go back and revisit the sitcom at all. It's okay. Well, I just think it's sad now seeing as Matthew Perry passed and like to know he struggled so much throughout most of the filming. I don't know. But it's just like, I think some of it hasn't aged the best. And there are jokes that are cringy because they are tone deaf. And I understand it was filmed like many, many years ago and maybe social awareness wasn't where it's at now. I understand that, but I can't stop cringing at stuff that it's like...
1994 is what the... It was a very long time ago.
I know, but for me, I've always been an office person. Like, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I like. I think Office is my second favorite one. So Friends is my first, Office is second. But like, the reason why I asked, because in Friends, remember the monkey Marcel?
Vaguely, yes.
Ross had a monkey at
I remember the monkey.
Yeah, so the same monkey is in Bruce Almighty. You know when...
There is a monkey in Bruce Almighty? When is there a monkey in Bruce Almighty? I remember the dog. There's a dog and he makes him pee on the toilet and stuff.
There was a monkey. There was like a bunch of guys... I think like right as Bruce lost his job, you know, they kicked him out of the office. He tried to step up for some like that.
Isn't he making like one of a gang? Yeah. And he makes, yeah, them so they makes get... the guy poop a monkey. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, yes.
So that's the same monkey.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Friends. But again, for me, I was like, oh really? So the monkey had to come out of his bum. Ha ha ha. Super funny. I don't think it's funny. It's like, to me, that's like... pee pee poo poo jokes. I don't like it. Just be more creative. Like a bum related joke isn't always funny.
No, but I mean the joke was like that
he pooped a monkey.
Gang member. No, it wasn't poop a monkey. He's like, I'll apologize to you. Well, he said
when
like,
a monkey comes out of my bum,
of my ass. Yeah, but it was like because. I think the joke was because that guy thought it was so crazy to say something like that. Like,
yeah,
meaning that he would never apologize. Right? And then
whole joke is seeing the monkey come out of the bum and then go back, crawl back in the bum later on as well. And I'm like, all right, not funny. To me, that's not funny, but I don't
and
know.
And yet you're laughing right now.
But stuff. Yeah, because... okay, I can see that the funny aspect of it is like when you say like, oh, I'll apologize when, you know, I don't know, we say in French, when the chicken have teeth. I don't know what you would say in Ukrainian. So for us, it's like, or like the week of the four Thursdays or something. But here the gang member has to say when a monkey crawled out of my bum hole. And I'm trying to censor this. So I guess it is a little bit funny when Jim Carrey is like, oh, funny you should say that. And you know that's going to happen. But then to me, it pushes it too far when he makes the monkey come back and enter the bum hole again. I'm like, that's not needed. Also, poor monkey, just let him roam free. Like, honestly. But yeah, I guess it is funny. Like I said, I don't think it's not funny, but I think it's also, I'm not the best judge because this isn't the type of comedy that makes me love the most. I think I like something a bit more restrained, a bit more tongue-in-cheek, and this isn't it. This is like full-blown Ace Ventura, maybe a little bit less than Ace Ventura, because that's extreme. But we are in that domain, right? So I don't know. Some of the stuff lands. I liked when he made like Titanic jokes when he's on the boat with an old woman and he's supposed to interview that woman and he makes a bunch of Titanic jokes and I thought that was pretty funny because obviously. But I forgot what he said. Like I just made a note. I was like, oh, that's funny. What was in my notes? Let me get my notes back up because... I like that at some point he's serving water from a pitcher. And as the water hits the glass, it becomes wine. And I thought that was a funny... They were very clever nods throughout the movie at the fact that he's God. So some of the things he says or touches, you can see they are related to like the Bible. So like the water into wine was funny.
The soup, like getting in half.
Yeah, like the... What's it? Like the Black Sea, right? Or the Dead Sea. I think it's the Dead Sea. I think it's that Moses parted.
Red. Yeah.
Oh, the red. Yeah. So yeah, he does like. Oh yeah, that was actually funny with this soup. I think what is sad is that Morgan Freeman is a bit underutilized in the movie, because him as God is such a clever nod. It's like such a clever cast. I think Morgan Freeman as God, I was like, that's so awesome. But you don't see that character enough, or he doesn't do enough in the movie. And I was a bit like, oh, they could have used him so much more, which they didn't. But at the same time, whenever he's on screen, you're like, yeah, he's perfect in that role. Because he's like a god, but also, I don't know, a bit chill. Like, yeah. I think it's like because the real god knows, like, I can't just say yes to everyone and everything. Like, life has to run its own course. I don't really understand what that god does, to be fair. I liked, there's a few, but when they have scenes together, they're quite good. Like in that building where God is mopping the floors and Jim Carrey is being an asshole to him. And like, I'm not going to help you mop. Yeah, I'll help you on whatever. And gives him a date and God is like, all right, it's settled. Fair enough. But like, apart from me saying, I just don't like this much physical comedy, there's not many things I can criticize about the movie, because I think it has a message and it is funny. And you could definitely watch this with kids and like, hope they can understand. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just get anything, everything you want in life. Sometimes you have to make choices and it's not always going to be smooth sailing. So I would recommend that people watch it, but I'm saying it hasn't aged the best, maybe.
I think we're interested to know that Bruce Almighty, like, it still stands in the top 10 most by box office, like top 10 of all time comedy movies. So funny, all interesting, right. That number one, what do you think?
Is it like Jim Carrey related?
No, no.
All comedies?
All comedies of all time.
Number one in... Wow.
This is like, to be honest, number one to me was unexpected. But yeah.
Comedy, but I don't watch many comedies. Number one. Fucking hell. What is super funny? Something with the Monty Pythons?
No. Okay, I'll just... Like, number one is Barbie. I don't know
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Are you serious? That's not even comedy at all.
Yeah. The next three I would probably definitely comedy. So number two was Hangover Part Two.
Part two, not even part one. Why is part two better than part one?
Well, by no, we're talking purely based on the money.
Based on the money. All right. But then it's going to be a bunch of silly, really silly stuff. Like, I'm sure Jackass is going to be in there, even though it's the worst thing ever created. No. All right.
So Hangover to the next one is Ted. Have you seen Ted?
Oh, with the teddy bear.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I hate it. Yeah, I guess. I don't like it. I hate Seth MacFarlane. I just don't understand why he is so funny. He's not. It's like, that's really pee-pee-poo-poo humor. I hate it. Oh, God. Okay.
And number four is Meet the Fockers.
Oh, God. Fucking hell. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus. Okay, yeah. Well, I like none of the above, so... But to me, that's not a comedy, like...
Yeah, I don't know why it's there, but yeah. So, Bruce Almighty actually stands at number six. And at that moment, when it was released, it briefly surpassed. So, before that, the number one comedy movie, again, based on purely the money, was Home Alone. So, at that point, it made
that makes sense.
480 million. So... Bruce Almighty, 470. Bruce Almighty, like, briefly surpassed it. But yeah, that kind of makes a bit more sense to me.
Yeah. But like, seeing the top five, I would put Bruce Almighty as the first one. Because none of the ones you have mentioned are better than Bruce Almighty, in my opinion. They're not better by any mean. Yeah. I think it's a funny one. I just, for me, it's not my favorite Jim Carrey for sure. And I guess it's not a comedy that I will revisit a lot. Unlike you, I probably won't watch it again. But it's also not a bad one. And I guess it's a good one to watch with kids. Because like a comedy, it's important that maybe sometimes you can take your kids with you to the cinema or watch something with your kids. This one definitely applies. They will have a great time, but they might not pick up on everything that you do as an adult. But still, like, I think for kids, Jim Carrey is always peak comedy because he's funny to kids. Yeah, because he makes silly faces all the time. And he seems like a very genuinely kind person as well, like off screen. So it's someone like I like, and I will give him the benefit of the doubt. I will watch most of his movies. But this one isn't my favorite. Although, not a bad one, though. It is funny. Yeah. Like, there's so many jokes that do land. It's just maybe too much physical comedy for me, though. And that's a personal preference.
Okay, so what would you give it? What score are you giving it?
Out of 10, I think I would give it a 6.5.
So like, lower than IMDb. Oh, dude.
Yeah, okay. To me, it's a bit lower than that. 6.5 is what I would give it.
Yeah, just because I was still, after all these years, after all this time, I'm still very much entertained and I'm not bored watching the movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you might rewatch some movies and then you get bored and you start, like, looking at your phone and, you know, like, do other shit. Like, to me, it wasn't like that. I was still very much engaged with the movie. Again, even after watching it so many times, I'll give it an 8. Yeah.
What? That is crazy. Yeah. An 8.
Yeah. I mean, this is a crazy show. This is a crazy podcast. Woohoo!
Woohoo! 8. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Wow. Then I'm curious to see what you're going to give What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, I don't want to come off as if, like, I criticized it so much, because I do appreciate that movie for what it is, but I do think that with time, and when you go back to it, there's, like, many things that do bother me, so, yeah, but it's, like, all personal stuff. Anyways, so, yeah, 6.5 for me, 8 for you, which is insane.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess then we can move to the second pick of the week, which is also a comedy, and it's What We Do in the Shadows.
All right.
When you get three vampires in a flat, obviously there's going to be a lot of tension.
Viago was an 18th century dandy.
Look, a ghost cop.
Vladislav is a bit of a pervert.
This is my torture chamber.
Deacon's like the young bad boy of the group.
I'm supposed to pay rent? But I don't.
The trouble with being a vampire is you have to be invited in.
Come in to the bar, please.
$1 is water.
Will you invite us in?
We need some fresh blood.
Hi, my name is Nick. I've been a vampire for 2 months.
My friend Richard's a bouncer. He'll invite us in.
Gentlemen, you are most welcome.
Nick is so much fun.
I'm a vampire.
Vampire!
Trying to take your legs.
Wow!
Ah! What the f*** did you do
that for? Hey!
Don't swear. What are we?
We're not werewolves.
When you're a vampire, you become very sexy.
All right, so What We Do in the Shadows came out in 2014. And it was written and directed by a duo, Taika Waititi, whom we know, and Jermaine Clement. I think he is a bit less known, however, still kind of known. He's not unknown. In terms of the cast,
he's unknown to me.
He's not known to you? Well, I think he is known for a series that apparently is super good, but I've never seen it. It's called Flight of the Conchords. I heard it was really, really good, but I have not as well seen it. He's not been as an actor in a lot, but I think he's great at writing. Because we're going to talk about this, but there's a spin-off TV series of What We Do in the Shadows. The series is also called What We Do in the Shadows, and I think he is a writer and a producer on that. Anyways, but today we talk about the movie, What We Do in the Shadows. The cast, in terms of the cast, it's kind of funny because basically what they did... So let's talk about the movie a bit, because it's a very low budget production. The budget for it was 1.6 million. So it's basically like a love project, right? They wanted to do this. The film is based on a 2005 short film that was called What We Do in the Shadows, Interviews with Some Vampires. And it was also written and directed by Clement, so Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. I'm gonna move in my notes to say it. So basically, Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi wrote 150 pages of script, but they chose not to show the script to any single person involved in the film, with it be it the crew or the cast. They only described broad strokes of what each scene was about, and they wanted people to improvise, basically, because they wanted to keep things spontaneous and to allow the actors to be surprised by the events unfolding. In terms of the actors, they basically cast a bunch of their friends to be in the movie, which is kind of funny because... So I don't know if you've seen the series, but in the series, there are three vampires and one of them is a woman. And when I think in an interview recently, Taika was asked, how come there weren't any women vampires in the first movie? Was that like a decision or something? I don't know why they asked the question, but they did. And basically he said, well, we invited a bunch of our female friends to come and act as vampires, but on the day of the shoot, like, nobody showed up. Like, none of the girls came to shoot. So that's why there are no women vampires in the show. I don't know where to start with the notes. Let's start with the budget, like the rating on IMDb. On IMDb, it's rated at 7.6 out of 10. And I don't know about Rotten Tomatoes because I never check.
So, 96.
Unless you have it.
96 from critics and 87 from the audience.
So pretty good then. It's a good rating. The budget, like I said, was very, very minuscule. So $1,600,000. And it grossed worldwide $7,500,000. So not a big movie in the sense that it wasn't a massive success on the global scene. However, the film really had a second life I want to say in the video clubs, but I guess it's too late for that. You couldn't like go in a video club and rent it. But like, I think after it came out, a lot of people sadly downloaded it or watched it through other means, and it became really popular. The film was shot in New Zealand, in between Wellington locations where it's set in Wellington and a soundstage in Miramar. The shooting took place over 5 weeks, only 5 weeks, starting in September 2012. And it completed with 1 week of pickups, which I'm not quite sure what that is, maybe like reshoots, in August 2013. It was entirely improvised around the script, like I said. So, which I think is quite funny, and you can see that in the scenes. Like, once you've seen the movie, you're like, yeah, definitely those were improvised. The editing, but because they had to improvise so much, the guys came away with about 125 hours of footage, from which they needed to create only 90 minutes of a story, because the movie isn't long. It's like a classic 90-minute movie. Yeah. So the editing process took almost a year with the post and also the VFX, because there are some special effects in this movie. Maybe I should talk about the plot. So basically what We Do in the Shadows is it's a mockumentary Basically, we follow a group of vampires living in New Zealand in Wellington that all live together in a house, and they've agreed to invite a camera crew to follow them because there's a big event coming up in the vampire or like the undead community in Wellington. There's going to be a masquerade ball, and so for the first time in ever, a camera crew is allowed to follow vampires and see what the masquerade ball is all about. But that is kind of the plot, although stuff happens. So at some point, there's going to be a new guy coming up in the group, like a new guy that has been turned into a vampire that is going to join the three existing vampires. And then his friends, too, is going to just... There's a lot of random stuff, really. Yeah, it's hard to explain because for me, the basic plot is that, yeah, it's a mockumentary, a bit like The Office. You follow a group of vampires and they address the camera as if they were doing like an actual documentary documenting their lives as vampires in modern day New Zealand. I thought this was a bit funny. Taika Waititi based his performance on his mother. Okay. Because he plays like this dandy German vampire. Jermaine Clement, who plays Vlad the Poker, based his performance on Gary Oldman in Bram Stoker's Dracula. But each of the main characters are similar to a vampire from a famous vampire movie. So Peter is obviously, I don't know if you noticed that, but he looks like Count Orlok from Nosferatu. Like the design of him, you're like, oh yeah, that's from Nosferatu. Deacon is supposed to reflect David from The Lost Boys. I don't know if you have seen that. Yes. Vladislav is, got Gary Oldman in Dracula. And Nick, yeah. Nick is the youngest vampire. He looks like Edward from Twilight, basically. which, yeah, now that you have that in mind, you're like, yeah, that's actually correct. I can see that in the movie. But so basically, it's a very small production. Most of it was improvised. It's mostly their friends in the cast, and also mostly like the names of the people are the names in real life somehow. So for example, the guy who plays Stu in the movie, his actual name is Stu Rutherford. Obviously, no, Jermaine Clement plays Vladislav and Taika Waititi plays Viago, so those are not their names. But the woman Jackie, who's like a familiar, her actual name is Jackie Van Beek. So they didn't like really overcomplicate things. They're just like, what's your name? All right, that's going to be your character's name as well. Well, first question for me, had you seen this movie before?
I have.
Oh.
I've seen it once when it came out.
Okay.
Probably, yeah, like 2015. No, I've seen it once when it came out, never after. And at that time, I thought it was very funny and very cool. Like, it wasn't your...
Typical
vampire movie. But then again, like, to be honest, I don't even know what's a typical vampire movie, because, you know, you have something like Blade, right? You have Blade, you have Twilight, you have Underworld, you have Morbius, you have Buffy.
Yeah, Morbius. Jesus.
Yeah.
You have the Morbius. There are a lot, like the vampire genre.
So there's like many vampire movies.
But not often as a comedy. And definitely never as a mockumentary type of comedy.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a genius angle, because you don't expect that. And like, because so much of it is improvised, to me, so many of the jokes land so well. I've seen this movie so many times, to be fair. So, obviously I put it in the jar because I love it. But upon rewatching it, I hadn't seen it in a few years, and I had forgotten how many of the scenes are just hilarious, just because they go about such mundane business, like having a flat meeting because Deacon has not washed the dishes in 5 years and there's blood all over the dishes piling up in the kitchen and they have to go over the chore wheel and be like, so it's your time, like you have to do the chore. And they have this thing that you would do as flatmates. You would have meetings about the chores and who is supposed to do what. But they're vampires, and just like when they get irritated at one another, they just like start flying up and hissing at each other in the room. It's just so fucking stupid. Or when they have to go, so they leave at night because they're vampires, but so they go out in Wellington and they get dressed before they go out, but because they can't see themselves in the mirrors, because vampires don't have a reflection, they have to draw each other out on paper to show them like what you look like in your clothes. Just thought, that's so fucking stupid, but it's so funny. And just, I think every, like, I didn't realize most of these actors were not professional actors. They were just like friends doing a favor for Jermaine and Tyga. Because for me, a lot of them, like, their performance is really good. Deacon, especially, I think he's hilarious. As like this, I don't know what kind of vampire is. He's like the Geralt of Rivia of vampires, with like leather pants and like big fluffy shirts. I love the fact that they incorporate as well like a band of werewolves in the show. So like these vampires. Also, there's also werewolves, and then the werewolves are quite funny. Like, we're werewolves, not werewolves. Like, there are so many fucking good lines. There are some stakes, because obviously there's that new vampire that's brought into the fold because he's been turned into a vampire by the oldest, like Peter. But because he's a brand new vampire and he's been turned in like 2014, like at the time of the movie, 2013 maybe, he's more like a modern person. He's not been turned like centuries ago. And so he has access to more things in the outside world, but also he's more like braggy about who he is. And because of him, stuff is going to... I don't want to spoil everything. Oh, I guess I can. Because of him, some vampire hunters are going to find a house and kill one of the existing vampires. And so there's this whole drama on this... It's not really drama, because all of it is quite funny. And then... Obviously, the climax is supposed to be like that masquerade ball. Like, we know we are gearing towards that ball, which is actually a ball for all of the undead. So you've got vampires, but zombies and witches as well going there. But I also love the fact that the camera crew is part of the film. So at some points, the vampire will refer to the camera crew and be like, oh, you can eat that one maybe, but not this one. Or just like, yeah. I think it's cleverly brought into the movie. What are your thoughts on this movie upon rewatching it, obviously? Because you like said the first time you liked it, but...
Yeah. Yeah. The first time I loved it. Like, so... Again, like, going to this movie, I watched My Pick first. And after that,
okay,
I watched
yours.
So it was like two days back to back. Watched my first, I watched your second. And honestly, right before I started watching it again, I remember how funny it was and how much I laughed the first time. So in my mind already, I was kind of like almost like 99% sure I'm going to pick yours. Probably like when it comes to like, you know, giving scores and like,
yeah.
I was like, ratings. And I was like 99% because I remember laughing. I remember how funny it was. And like the first time I've seen it. So I was like, in my mind, I was like 99% sure. Yes, I'm probably going to go with your pick.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, by the end of the movie, I was kind of like somewhat disappointed. And
no.
And I don't... So one thing, maybe I was comparing it to watching like Bruce Almighty right a day before. So maybe I should have started watching yours first. Maybe it wouldn't change anything. But like I don't remember, like, because watching Bruce the day before, and I don't remember laughing. Like, I was, like, honestly, like, laughing hard. I was, like, out loud. Here, it was funny. Like, I love these jokes. It was still silly, fun. It wasn't, like, I wasn't laughing that hard. But oh, okay. I do remember specifically laughing the first time I watched it. That's why, like, I thought, like, going into it, I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to pick yours.
Why should?
But
it should be.
And yeah, I just don't remember, like it was like almost as I'm hyped up myself so much before going into it.
Yeah.
And that hype was like somewhat not
your expectations.
It didn't meet my expectations. And again, the movie is good. It was funny. It was fun. And I think it was funnier the first time around because it was so new. It was so funny. And there was like nothing sort of... Again, it wasn't like a typical vampire. Yeah, it wasn't... There was nothing like that. But then again, like, you know, there's so many different kinds of like vampire movies. Like, honestly, like Blade, Twilight, Morbius, you know, like... Underworld,
Interview
Buffy.
With a Vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recently, I've watched, maybe like 2 weeks ago, I watched Renfield. Nicolas Cage one.
I started it and then I had to stop it and never went back to it. I feel like it was all right, but it wasn't really grabbing me.
Last year, I think, Netflix came out a movie called Day Shift. It was a movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
TV show.
It was all right.
Well, yeah, it was all right. So there's like so many vampire movies. And like, I think at that time, it was just so new. So like, so I remember it being like so good. And again, I think right before going into this, I hyped up myself so much. And for some reason, it didn't click to me like it did the first time. And
that's funny because I had a similar experience. I remember loving this movie so, so much. And like, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. And then upon rewatching it this time, I still loved it a lot. But I guess less so than I remembered. And I think part of it for me is because I've watched the series where we're doing The Shadows, and I've grown really fond of these characters in the show, because obviously there's more seasons, so you get really to spend a lot of time with them. And I think watching the movie, I was like, it's still like, I don't want to diss it because I still think it's brilliant what they created, because like you said, at the time there was nothing like that, so really they created something brand new that worked so well. But I think over time and with watching the series, the spin-off one, I think maybe I might want to say the series might be slightly better just because it's more polished. I think obviously it's a bigger budget, they have more time, I do think they still improvise a lot on the show because the jokes are so funny. But yeah, there was something upon this rewatch where I was like, oh, I didn't laugh as much as I thought I would. But I still, it's not a movie where I pick up my phone and, you know, get bored. I love it. And I love that it's not long, much like Bruce Almighty. It's like 1 hour, 30 minutes. And I think all of the jokes land super well, but maybe there's something because I've watched it so many times, I just know what's going on and I just know what joke is going to be told. And so much like you, I feel like my expectations were higher and weren't probably met. But I don't want to say I didn't like it, because that's not the case. And like, I want to keep in mind the fact that they did create something so completely different than what we have had for like the vampire genre up to like 2014 when this came out. So, but for sure, my first watch of this movie, my first viewing, I was pissing myself. Like, it was so funny to me. And I guess improv is like that. Improv works best like fresh, and then the more you watch the same jokes, the more you're like, okay, but still, like, so many things still work. Like, I absolutely love the fact that they love Stu, so like that normal guy who's just like a computer tech or whatever, and like that's introducing the vampires to all this, like, I don't know, cameras and how internet works and how you can bid on eBay for things and stuff. And I still love that to this day. I'm like, it's so hilarious how they just like, they love Stu. Stu is great. Stu is a great human. They don't really care for Nick, but Stu is the best. I love the relationship they have with the werewolves, because I think the guy who leads the werewolves is really good at comedy. Like, he has a deadpan face but says the funniest stuff. Like, he's telling, there's one scene where all of the werewolves have to chain themselves around a tree because they're gonna turn because the moon is high, whatever. And he just makes like comments about like, why are you all wearing jeans? You know they're gonna rip through. You're gonna be butt naked. All of that. Just pick a better tree. You know how big you get, because the guy is tying himself up against like such a tiny tree. All of that works so well for me. Most of it works super well, but some things let me down a bit. Like the whole thing with the beast, with the woman who's supposed to be like the nemesis of Vlad. This didn't really work for me this time. I was like, but because I knew, like, the first time you watch it, you don't expect the beast to be like his ex-girlfriend. I don't know. I have like, it's a weird relationship because I love this movie. I have a weird relationship with it. But like upon rewatch, I'm not sure it was as hard to say. It was as funny as I remembered. But a lot of the jokes do land, though. And I love the fact that they took a lot of elements from the vampire lore and included them in the movie, such as, like, Silver is going to burn them. And, like, Viago has this pendant from his long-lost lover. And it's a silver pendant, so when he wants to put it on himself, he has to take his little gloves and he can't really touch the pendant and he puts it on himself and it's burning his flesh and he's trying to pretend like it's not hurting and he's turning his head for the camera like, ah, it looks good, but his flesh is sizzling. It's so funny. Or like when they have to kill someone and Viago doesn't want the blood to go everywhere, so he puts like newspaper on the floor just to prepare for, but then he hits the main artery and there's blood everywhere. And then he has a conversation with the camera like, yeah, it didn't go so well. I hit the main artery. It's a mess. Just all of that is so funny. But I think, yeah, because I've watched it too many times, I know where the jokes are. And they still land, but they don't land the same way. So it's a hard one. But for me, the comedy here is something I prefer compared to Bruce Almighty. Because it's less physical. It's more like the way they act and the way they just look like, not innocent per se, but they just look like they are doing a documentary and telling such bizarre things straight onto the camera. For me, that works really well. And I think, and also to be fair, that's the movie that introduced me to Taika Waititi. I didn't know him before. So it's the first I had seen of him. And I followed his career afterwards because I was like, this guy is brilliant. I love him. So there's a lot to love in this movie. If you like kind of like a weird, quirky humor, that could be it for you. And if you like vampires, but would like to see a comedy with vampires that's not stupid, this one is great because it's not stupid humor. It is really funny.
I'm surprised that it was actually, well, because the movie is rated R. And surprised that it was rated. It could be just purely based on the blood scenes, because there was a lot of blood.
Could be.
Because otherwise, outside of it, there's nothing that like would like give it.
I
like,
think
or
it
put
must
it
be
in
for
that
the blood.
R-rated. Yeah. And it could be why. Yeah. And it could be why the movie didn't gross as much worldwide.
Well, I think the movie, so it
because
came out in festivals mostly.
Yeah.
And I think it was it got popular in the festivals, but that's it.
Because
it was the most pirated movie.
General. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But he has like a cult following. Like after it came out, and I guess he didn't do so well in terms of money, But if you ask everybody nowadays, most people know this movie. They've seen it. Hence why the show got picked up. I think it's Hulu.
But I can say, yeah, I saw the show because, like, for me, again, when it came to getting the movie, I couldn't stream it anywhere, but I could stream I could stream the show, but I couldn't stream the movie. Yeah, so yeah. I had to rent. So this was like a rent for me.
Yeah.
Because I think buying was $15, I want to say, but the rent was like $5.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so the rent was
like $5.
Yeah.
And I bought it because I was like, I love this movie so much, I might as well buy it because I know I'm going to watch it and watch it and watch it. And now I'm like, maybe I won't rewatch it every other day. But the thing is, like, if I didn't have the show to fall back on, because the show is brilliant, the show is as good, if not better, than the movie. And if there was no show, I probably would watch the movie often because I just love that universe. I love what they created so much. But because there is the show and it's great in so many aspects, I don't need to watch the movie that often. I can just go watch the episodes. Although I think the show is going to end soon. They are filming, I think, the last season ever. But if you haven't seen the show, I recommend it so highly. It's so, so funny. It's really great. And the vampires they created have like completely different personalities. So it's not like a retelling of the first movie. It's just different vampires completely. But it's really, really funny. And I think movie, they... Yeah, you have a question.
Yes, a very silly question.
Oh, okay, go.
Because it seems like you were going like on something serious. So I don't know if you should continue or I should just ask you a silly question. But like
I wasn't gonna go on something serious because this isn't serious by any way.
So would you want to be a vampire? And sort of the reason why I ask is because I think every typical or somewhat typical vampire movie talks about how cool it is to be a vampire, right? Whereas this show, and why I also kind of liked it, but this show shows kind of the opposite. So how boring it is to be.
Yeah, because it sucks for them.
Yeah, yeah, especially like
watching Deacon.
Because
they have to be invited,
the dance scene, and Deacon was doing the dance scene, and like, those two were like just
weird,
looking at him.
Because he's wearing such weird clothes as well, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
And I was thinking to myself, oh my god, this is shit, like, you're immortal, and you have all the time in the world. And what do you want to do with it? And like he's like learning some weird fucking dance. And like those guys are like they're watching like very seriously. Like they're like appreciating like.
But they are also so retarded because they don't have because they were transformed so many years ago. They don't understand technology. Yeah. So I think if you get turned as a vampire now, you could still have like entertainment. Okay, but the thing is. Speaking of becoming a vampire, in most of the movies you watch, vampires are wealthy, right? Which makes sense if you've been a vampire for centuries. Of course, you're going to accumulate wealth. But then what if you're a vampire but don't have money? You still have to work to pay your bills, right? How do you work as a vampire? Like, what kind of job? A night job, night shift? But what can you do? Like, that would suck.
Security?
I wouldn't mind
you'd
being...
You'd be very good at security.
You'd probably be good at like security somewhere at night. I don't really know how you go about, because like I wondered, like, how do they pay for that house in New Zealand? Maybe they own the house, to be fair. I don't really know. It doesn't look like it's that much fun. Also, sleeping in a coffin or like in a closet, like some of them, doesn't. I love sleeping on a bed. Like, why the fuck? But yeah, their lives are not that fun. And like when they want to go into downtown, what's it called? Wellington. But they want to go to find victims. But basically, they have to be invited in a bar or in a restaurant to go in. Like vampires have to be invited in. And so they keep asking the bouncers, like, can we come in? And they're like, no, because they dress like fucking idiots as well. They dress like they're going to a medieval fair and they're trying to get into this hype club and stuff. Oh, that's so silly. And so I guess once Nick become part of the band, they are allowed to go into more places because he knows the bouncers. But yeah, their lives, they seem a bit boring because they do not a lot. And it doesn't seem easy for them to find victims either. Because there seem to be a lot of vampires in that really small town. A lot of undead people. Yeah, I don't know about being... It depends. Like, I don't want to be a vampire like in Twilight. Because that's just why. But like a vampire like in Underworld where you like, for some reason, are super good at fighting and you can do a bunch of stuff and you have all the money. No, Blade is weird though. Yeah,
do you know the new Blade coming out? I think.
Is it? Because I heard the production was like at a standstill.
Maybe last year, but yeah.
So yeah, because I think they're struggling.
I mean, it could be. I think Blade could. I want it to be good. I think I remember like from all the vampire movies, like I think like Blade stands out to me because it was like, I think the. When I was a kid, I think, remember it being so cool. And it could have been, like, one of the first ones that I've seen. Maybe Buffy was earlier that I maybe saw it on TV. But, like, Blade was, like, definitely the first cool vampire movie that I saw. And so it has, like,
cool.
Yeah, a lot of...
love.
Like, personally, for Blade. Personally, love for Blade. So I really hope that the new one, but yeah, I think like, and that's why like to me, it was like a bit silly, like, because all these movies that you watch, like before this one, and even like more recent ones, the like being a vampire is cool. And then you watch this one, it's like, oh, damn, it's so shit.
It is a bit shit for them, yeah. But then there are things that are cool. So like they can hypnotize people. Like when the cops come to their house and they tell them, you'll see nothing weird. And they keep seeing stuff that's super weird, but they didn't point it out. It's like, well, who's this guy? Oh, he's a bit drunk. His neck is like the wrong way around. It's like, I'll just put him in a bed. And there's like a slab of metal, like concrete on his legs. And it's like, oh, that can't be comfortable. You bet. He's fucking dead. Just like the silly things. Yeah, but it doesn't make you want to be, especially because I guess this one is an action based, right? So the vampires, they don't look extra cool. They look like idiots, most of them. So it doesn't make you want to be a vampire because they're a bit like, they're weird, they're different. But it also doesn't make you want to be a werewolf, because I've never wanted to be a werewolf, to be fair. It's not like something that sounds appealing, but like in this one, especially. Yeah, out of the four I guess Peter, Viago, Vlad and Deacon, who's your favorite? I guess Peter doesn't say a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I like Deacon, and just because he was like, I don't know, like in my mind he was like very stupid. Like whereas like Viago, he was like very like naive vampire.
Viago is like, you know, super dandy, right? Like pre-man proper, like, oh, I can't have blood on my couch. And the other guy is like, oh, your red couch, where it's red now.
I think like Deacon was like the most silly to me. It was like, yeah, because they compared him to, I think he was the, like, the, out of the three original, he was the newest member, right?
Yeah. Wait, but that doesn't make sense, because when they tell him, like, they tell his story, he was some kind of, like, salesman.
No, because he was a Nazi. He was a Nazi vampire.
Oh, that was hilarious. I was a Nazi. You can't, if you're a Nazi and a vampire, no way.
So being Nazi is okay. vampire, okay, but like if you're a Nazi vampire, that's a
Nazi
no-no.
And a vampire, no way. Yeah, but I think when you, like when they tell his story and they show the paintings, he looked like he was a salesman going from castle to castle. Like, but it looked like he lived in the medieval times based on these clothes, and then he got turned by Peter. But yeah, in the because they said, oh, he's been a vampire for this many years, and he was the one that had been the vampire for the least amount of years, or centuries. Yeah, whereas to me, Taika Waititi's demeanor looked more modern than Deacon's in a way, but he was a vampire for longer. But overall, I recommend this a lot because it's so fun. Like the improv on a lot. And I love how they incorporate the art as well. Like all these paintings with their, you can recognize their faces on some. I think that's so cleverly made. Of course, with the budget that it is, the VFX aren't the best, but at the same time, you don't expect it, because it's a mockumentary, I don't expect it to be like a Marvel movie, so it doesn't bother me. The fact that the werewolves are a bit shit, when you see them transform, it's like, oh, okay. But they didn't have much money, so I don't care. I think everyone is brilliant. And yeah, it doesn't age really. I think it's like timeless, this movie, in a way, because it doesn't rely solely on special effects. But yeah, if you've seen the show though, and you haven't seen the movie, but for some reason you have seen the show, I think it might be weird to see the show first and then go to watch the movie. Because I think you might think it's not that good. Like, you would see where the show came from, but you wouldn't appreciate the movie as much. Whereas in 2014, when we first saw this movie, it was like, this is, I've never seen anything like this. It's brilliant. I didn't see what the tags were, but it's a comedy horror on IMDb, which I think is pretty accurate. Because there are, I wouldn't show this to kids, for example. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's both comedy or like, horror, so yeah. Which is fair.
Yeah, it's great. It's so funny. There's so many things. Like, even now, thinking about all the lines and the situations, I'm like, that it's so good. I can't believe they came up with this. So for me, it remains a favorite. So I think in terms of rating, for me, this one would be above Bruce Almighty. I would give it probably a 7.5.
You know, I like the IMDb score is 7.6.
Right, so I'm right on. Yeah.
Okay.
I think initially I would have given it an 8, but like you, because I rewatched it and some of it wasn't as funny as I remembered, I kind of lowered my rating a bit, so to a 7.5, yeah. But it's still great, great, great. Go and watch it.
I would probably agree with you on the rating. And the thing is, I'm giving my rating mainly based on my first time, because I really wanted to like this movie, even like watching it the second time. So if I would be like very objective and give a score based on my second time watching, it would be lower. But I really wanted to like this movie, and I remember specifically loving it, like
the first time,
laughing, and I'm more gonna base my score based on my first time watching it.
Would you recommend the movie to someone?
Yes,
two people.
Yeah, I would definitely, like, if you haven't watched it, I think you should watch it. Like 100% watch it. Don't know about the show. I haven't seen the show, and because like when I was looking for the movie, and you know, when I just typed it out, I was like, oh, the show is available. But then I'm looked, and I knew the show existed, but when I saw there's like five seasons already, I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to invest that much time. Like,
but the episodes are really short. They're like 30 minutes long, the episode, so they go by really quickly. But I get it. Five seasons is a time investment, basically. And you're like, I don't have time. but
I'm still trying to finish the Ballers right now.
Oh my god, that's been so long, Dima.
and that's saying like that show is also, it's only like 5 seasons and 30 episodes a season. So with this one, I don't know about the show. If I'll ever
I recommend the show highly.
Yeah. So if I'll ever get to watch it, but like movie, I think 100% recommend.
So. Yeah, I think...
So my final score is 7.6. Yep, 5.
Yeah. But I think it's great to have something come out of New Zealand and be this good. Not that I don't expect them to do good things, but it's great to feature something from another country, a small country that's often overlooked in terms of the movie industry, and to produce something of this quality. I was like so impressed with it. Yeah. And obviously Taika is super famous now, but he wasn't at the time, so... It's great to see what, because like for me, he's lost his touch a little bit, or he's become like a caricature of himself. But it's great to see what he could do before depression, before Hollywood. Like, because this is, for me, not peak Taika Waititi, but like such a good premise to what his talent would become. So yeah, I recommend this so, so highly. Just watch it.
Yeah.
If you haven't. And especially if you're a fan of The Office, like this is kind of right up your alley, because it's the same idea of like a documentary crew following people doing mundane things. But like, because the improv is so good, it's really, really funny. So yeah, 7.5 for me. I think for me, the winner today would be What We Do in the Shadows, because I have much more love for this type of humor than I do for the comedy in Bruce Almighty. But I know you're going to pick Bruce Almighty.
Yes. Yeah, because I, yeah, like to me, it's just like, again, I said Jim Carrey is one of my favorites. And I think like, to me, that movie is still so funny after so many years and so many watches. So yeah. And because this one, like I said, I was, before the movie, I was like, shit. No, you know, I felt bad because I knew I'm going to pick yours. And because like later it just didn't.
You're not taking mine.
Yeah, it didn't click, shocked. And yeah, so very unfortunate.
So it's 1-1. Nobody is winning because I stay with my pick and you stay with yours. It's a draw. Like often.
Often.
Yeah, but I think it really depends on what type of comedy you like more. In this specific case, right? Because those are very different types of comedy. And I think to you, Bruce Almighty's type resonates more with you. And then for me, it's the tongue-in-cheek comedy from What We Do in the Shadows and the improv. I love that. So that's for me.
Yeah, but I think we can agree that probably regardless of what kind of comedy you like, I think if you haven't seen both, I think it's worth watching both.
Watch both.
Regardless, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So we have no winners. Yay.
Hey.
Shall we do?
Surprise.
Next time. Surprise. Okay. Yeah. I really thought What We Do in the Shadows would win, because I didn't think you had seen it before. So I thought, oh, he's going to love it. Because if you discover this for the first time, there is no chance you won't like it. Yeah. You'd just be like, this is insane. What am I watching? But obviously, if you had seen it, yeah. Okay, that's fine. I can never win. all right?
I'm sure... No. I'm sure you've won before.
With the Matrix, I'm hoping. Because, like...
Probably Matrix. I'll have to go back and see what versus what, but I'm sure you won before. So.
Yeah. I think Matrix was versus Solar Opposites. And I think because it was so different anyways. But I think, yeah.
Very.
Talk about opposite end of the spectrum there. One is a masterpiece, one is a cartoon.
Hello, cartoon can be a masterpiece.
I know, but it wasn't as good as Rick and Morty, and it just felt so much like Rick and Morty, but just below. So, and then The Matrix, come on. Can't top The Matrix, can you?
Okay.
very
So, do you want me to start with my
Do you
want to
do
pick?
Your
Okay.
Yeah, I guess let's do yours first.
I had several that I was thinking of.
Okay.
And I literally until 10 seconds ago, I was still kind of a bit of in doubt Great. Which one I should. But I think for my next pick, I'm going to ask you to watch something that I haven't watched. So I hope you haven't watched as
okay.
well, because it's fairly recent.
Okay.
So, and I want to really watch a new season of Fargo.
Season 5
of Fargo.
Wow, I haven't watched that show in years.
Yeah.
Who's in the season 5 of Fargo?
I don't remember the, I'll have to like look it up, but the,
I
mean,
many
it's always like
out?
A-list.
So maybe, yeah, but Fargo has been shit in the past. Not all seasons were great.
Yeah, so because like Fargo is very similar to, you have Fargo, you have True Detective, right? Those are like both shows, they're like
yeah,
standalone.
I put them in the same
season
basket.
Is like a step. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard that season 5 is good.
Okay.
And I really want to watch it. And I was hoping that you haven't. So, which is good that you
no,
haven't.
No, I haven't seen it at
so,
all.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
It Yay. Wasn't even on my radar because I quit watching Fargo, I think, during season 3. I was like, this is not so good
I think
anymore,
so, too.
I've never gone back.
I think I watched the first two. Yeah, I think I watched the first two as well.
Okay. All right. So, both of us will go into this very blind. Because I don't even know who's in season 5 of Fargo, so that's great. IMDb. Fargo. while you said, so I'll just do your pick.
Okay. Should I tell you when to stop?
Probably a good idea.
Stop.
Okay. It's a movie called Layer Cake with Daniel Craig.
Layer Cake? Daniel Craig. Oh, we just
Have you seen it?
Not too long ago. Nope.
It's a very Guy Ritchie feel to it. And it's the movie that kind of made him famous enough to be cast as James Bond. Not to give too much away.
Interesting.
Fargo season 5. Who's in it? How do I access the episodes list? Episode guide. All right, season 5.
Well, it sounds like
it's
going to be
with
very interesting.
Juno Temple. Jennifer Jason Leigh. Okay. Mm. All right. So I don't know where I can watch Fargo, but I'll figure it out. Worst case scenario, download. like, I'm not buying a TV show because that's so expensive. Like, I'm not spending.
Luckily,
I don't know how much it is, but.
I saw. Because I think I put this show on my list. Just a few days ago, and luckily I can stream it here for free. So,
okay.
So, okay,
yay. Cool. That's not a bad matchup because Layer Cake is kind of like a gangstery, crimey thing. And Fargo is also crimey, like thriller,
Always,
police
yeah.
thing. So, I guess there will be elements that we can match up. But then, obviously, it's always hard to have a show versus a movie. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome, Jess. Well, sounds like the next one
guess
is
that's it for
gonna
today.
Be another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Remember to like, subscribe, do that all the fun stuff. Questions, comments, always welcomed.
Yep. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.